signal monitor. WRRM KDHNB.
WDHDX Mobile 14519, Petoskey. WDHDX Mobile 14519.
N8MJL Mobile.
WGAW.
Yeah, I know that guy.
WGAW from WARPM.
Oh, I'm not bringing up the repeater every time I key the mic.
Maybe you gotta squeeze harder.
I don't know what's going on here.
Maybe you broke it, Rod.
On the watt meter, and you know, every time I key the mic, it's showing power out, but every time I key up, it doesn't bring the repeater up. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, the repeater's not been super happy lately. It's got some pretty significant noise issues.
Well, I can't bring up the 6.8 either. So, but I got the beam pointed west, so. I don't have it on the ground plane there, so. Oh, good to hear you out there, Ron. So what's going on, man?
Oh, I don't think you have a signal issue when you're in there. You're fine. You might have either something going on with your push-to-talk or maybe a funky PL or something. The 6.8's been sick, too. It was gone for a while, and I guess they moved it again. I guess it's back on studs, but I have a hard time hitting it from home, too, so that you're not alone there. Just on my way back from Sheboygan. I had to go run a couple errands and pick up some carryout, so just making my way back.
Used to come in here full scale. I got to put the preamp on just to hear the repeater. And I got to have the amplifier on just to get into it.
This repeater or the 6.8?
You know, I used to get it full scale. Now the preamp just to hear it.
I say again, this repeater or the 6.8?
Going screwy, I guess. Okay, well, this one's still doing good, but I just don't wonder why it don't come up every time I key the mic. I don't know if I got a radio problem here with the microphone or what. I've had a problem with this mic before. I bought two different ones before, so I'll probably have to buy another mic.
Well, you've been fine the last few times. But, yeah, like I said, I thought I would have seen you at the Gaylord swap. I missed the West Branch. We were out of town. And there's one coming up in just a couple of weeks. I think it's the... Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to tell you what. It's way downstate. And I was going to go. Just use it as an excuse to go see my kid, but now I got a conflict. It's Sunday the 19th, and I can't. So I guess the next one will be the Lance Cruise down there in December. Hey, what's your kids hearing about the rebuild going on with their former crunchy, toasty employer?
I'm not sure what you're asking me.
I know your one kid works or works at Burger King. I thought you had somebody over at McDonald's, too.
Burger King, and my grandson, her son, he works there, too. Works there a couple days a week because he's in school, so he's only 14. But my daughter was one of the managers there, and she hasn't been working the last... seven or eight weeks. My daughter got Marianne. She's got ovarian cancer, and she's been through chemo once. She's got two more chemo to go through, and then they're going to schedule surgery for her to get the cancer out of her, and then she's got to go through three more chemos after that. But the doctor's pretty confident that everything's going to be okay.
That's awful. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but hopefully they caught it and can get us handled. My daughter's having fertility issues, not anything that's, you know, impairing her health or anything, but they've been married a couple years now and trying to make grandbabies. Looks like they're going to have to get some help because it ain't working on its own. But I'd take that problem over your problem any day, Rod. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's over that, Ron, but we're getting to it. So she's feeling pretty good right now. She hasn't lost her hair yet. Well, I'm sure after the chemotherapy, she'll probably be losing all her hair. And then she's got one more after that. And I'm not sure when they're going to do the surgery, but I think we'll find out once they get to the two chemo sessions. So, and they got them scheduled 6 weeks apart. So she's a couple weeks away yet from her next one. So. But, you know, it's a tough ordeal to have to deal with. I lost my oldest daughter in 2004, when, just before we moved up here, and she died suddenly, and I raised my two grandkids, her son and daughter here, in Indian River, and they're on their own now. They got kids of their own. Hey, man. Kids on. I'm getting old.
That's not how it's supposed to work, my friend. You know? Kids should be burying us, not the other way around.
And if I could any time trade places with my daughter, I would do it in a heartbeat. But, it's possible, so. But, we're just down, her bunker is down there in Flint Memorial Park, and, it's in the accident course, but it's just north of Flint. We were just down there and put some foot on a marker and, look at the marker. It's getting buried into the grass. And so I got to go over there again here in the next week or two. I'm going to go down there with my weed whacker and a square shovel spade, and I'm going to dig stuff around that so the marker will be not buried in the lawn, you know. And you know, the cemetery people there aren't very polite.
You know, where my parents both are, down in Dearborn, it's a Catholic cemetery down in Dearborn Heights. And you pay this ridiculous amount of money for this tiny square dirt to be able to put a, you know, a casket in a, what do they call it, the weatherproof box or whatever. And you're supposed to be paying for perpetual care. yet everybody's always out there cutting their own grass, doing their own landscaping. I got to go out there with a, you know, with a big chef's knife and trim around the edges of the stones, because otherwise, like you said, they get buried. And you can't even see them. And they just, you know, the newer cemeteries, this cemetery's got old parts and new parts. And the new part, you know, since the probably late 70s, early 80s, I would guess, you know, you got to have those flat stones that they just mow right over them. So unless the family goes and digs them out, you know, they just get smaller and smaller to where you just get this little oval in the middle and you can't even read what it says.
That's exactly right. So I'm going to be going back down there with my weed whacker. I got a square shovel spade. I'll take a wheelbarrow. I'm going to be digging odd away from the marker on my daughter's marker there. And they probably aren't going to like what I do, but I don't care because I don't like what they do, you know. And I'm going to just clean it up so it's not going to be in the sod for the next 3 or 4 months. I'm going to take care of that. So I'll be going down there here real soon. So, hey, I was out in the woods today with my crossbow. I sat out there from 6:30 till 10:30 and didn't see nothing. Staying warm, deer ain't moving. So, and it's going to be 85 on Saturday. I think I'm not going to do or sitting out there in the woods with the crossbow until after we get a couple of good frosts. And Saturday, I'm definitely going out on a nice long ride. Get me a couple hundred miles and so.
Now, if you had a little bitty landscaping trailer, you could take care of all your other cemetery stuff down there then. But I'm not complaining about the weather. I knew the hunters would be complaining. I knew that for a fact. Doesn't surprise me a bit. But a lot of guys went out today. And I was driving today, just a little while ago actually, when I took the long way to get to Sheboygan. And I was going down Devereux Lake Road. And there were no shortage of deer, and I can promise you that.
Devereux Lake Road is a good road to out for deer on because them things are suicidal. You gotta watch out. I've been down through there on my Harley and there's many times I had to apply the brakes. So I know what you're talking about. And then also on East Mullet Lake Road. I like all them curves. I really love that ride on the Harley. On East Mount Lake Road, from Devereux Lake Road all the way to, you know, all the way past the wigwam and up to town. And that's a nice, cool ride. I really enjoy that ride, but I've had to apply the brakes for deer, so I'm glad I haven't hit one. I did hit a deer in 2013. I did hit a deer on my motorcycle going 55 miles an hour, hit it head on. And I was on M55 just coming out of Lake City going towards Houghton Lake, and I was on my way home. It was 11 o'clock at night and it was 40 degrees. Oh man. I hit that deer and I didn't go down, but I pulled off. When I stopped, I sit there on the bike for a few minutes thinking, the heck just happened, you know?
Now, I need to bite my tongue and knock on wood, because as much driving back and forth as we did here, as much driving in my younger days when my in-laws had a place on Hubbard Lake, hold on. I've been fortunate, never bossed one yet.
You can fill your freezer with it for a couple of years. You to butcher them up. Oh, man. Anyhow, hey, Ron, thanks for the chat. I'm going to go back in the house. I'm out here in Radio Shack out in the barn, and my daughter's got company. She's got like, there's like three or four vehicles in the area here. My daughter's got company. They're all visiting her, so I'm going to go in and see what's going on and say hi to the gang there. So you have a good evening. Thanks for calling back to me, and we will catch up to you again here soon. So WRPF,
WGAW. Well, whatever you seem to have had going on, it seems to be fixed, so you've been fine the last few times. Your audio is clipping a little bit, but again, I'm sure that's the repeater and not you. But all right, sir. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you again soon. Hope you get some time out in the woods, but yeah, it's pretty useless going out there when it's 80 degrees. So, see you later. WGAW from W8RPM. Yeah. K-E-8-U-A-P, mobile. K-E-8-U-A-T from W8RPM for a quick one. I got not even 5 minutes to home.
Roger, you were talking about the 6-8 not being able to get into it. It's, right now, the ice storm finally caught up to it. We're getting stuff ready to get it fixed. But, yeah, the ice storm wreaked havoc on it, and it was working there for a little while, and the coax has some issues with it, so we're working on getting that all fixed back up. It might be a couple weeks. Maybe it'll be down.
Yeah, I heard the stories. But it was there, and then it wasn't, and then it was weak, and all that jazz. So the trials and tribulations of repeater owners and trustees.
Yep, roger that. But I'll let you get going. I just thought I'd let you guys know what was up with the 6-8 repeater.
Very good. Appreciate the time, man. Holler anytime. Throw me your name, too, so I can try to associate it with your call sign. Not that I'll remember, and I'll ask you the next time I talk to you, but at least I can try.
All right, this is Josh. Call sign K-8-U-A-E-P. Over by Charlevoix right now, so I'm headed home from picking up my daughter from a church event. So that's this will be my last K-8-UAB-73.
Yeah, very good. Name here is Ron Robert, Oscar November. And we'll talk to you again. W-8-R-P-M-C.
And at APX testing.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is KDRH Net Control for the Northern Michigan Skywarn Severe Weather Network. This is the regularly scheduled Wednesday evening training net, and the last one for 2025. This net would meet every first Wednesday of the month, between April and October, and this will be our last training net for this year. At this time, we'll stand by for any stations that have emergency or priority traffic. Okay, nothing heard. And tonight's topic is going to be our typical winter weather talks. I know it's hard to think that in about a month or two, we're going to have a decent coating of snow. It's going to be cold and nasty out, but that's typically what we cover in October, and I would like to go over our last activation as well. We had a couple of tornado warnings that went through Antrim County, and we also had it was a confirmed bit of rotation, but there was no damage or anything. I went through Grand Traverse County, so I'd just like to go over that here as well. But we'll stand by here one. All right, I guess we'll cover the activation that we had. Kind of really just popped up out of nowhere. We had a viewer from 7 and 4 captured a little bit of rotation on Long Lake It was over, I believe, on the Dollar General side. It didn't appear to have touched the ground, but it did have a lowering, had a funnel. Then there was a tornadic water spout in Antrim County. It was over off in Torch Lake. And then in Bel Air, they had a confirmed, I believe it was an EF1. Adam, is that what they considered that?
N8APX, I believe so. That sounds correct.
Okay, that's kind of what I was trying to remember. That one did basically go through the west side of Bel Air. They got uprooted a few trees, did a little bit of damage, but they did consider that an EF1. So there were technically three tornadoes for that event. We did have a few people check in. I'd like to have seen more, but given the area, it's kind of hard to get people in there to over on that side of Antrim County to check in. But we did follow it basically all the way through Otsego County up into Montmorency, and then finally it started to weaken. But it was showing signs of rotation all the way up into Otsego County. I do not believe they got anything up there, but they did have some viewer footage of, I believe they were by the sports complex, of more rotation, but there was no lowerings or anything. But, yep, I would like to thank those that checked in and encourage everybody next time we have an activation to just monitor the 86 or the Northern Michigan Link Repeater Network. We will have nets on there, and it will be kicked off with a warning tone so everybody knows that something's going on. We will have a directed net if it gets serious and severe. But other than that, I do encourage more people during those events to check in. The more eyes on the ground that we can see the weather situation, the better off we are to get a report in. And I guess with that, what we will do is take check-ins, and then we will go over tonight's topic. And I guess we'll take our first check-in. If you could give your call sign, and then once you're acknowledged by net control, I will take your name and then location. First station wishing to check in, please do so at this time.
N8APX. Drake, N8DMH.
Kilo, Charlie 8. Victor, Sierra, Uniform, Toby.
Okay, so far I've got N8APX, N8DMH, and KCAVSU. Any other stations? Okay, let's see, it might be a short night. At 8APX, go ahead, stand by, Drake.
K88REH, 8APX. Location is Sheboygan. Currently got nothing.
All right, Adam, we got you. Drake, go ahead and stand by, Toby.
What were you looking for the check-in? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention for a second.
That is unacceptable. Location, and you probably have no traffic to pass.
Oh, yeah, as always. Hammond at 5 mile and no traffic. Any DMH.
All right, Drake, got you in there. And last on the check-ins here, we got Toby, KCAVSU.
KCAVSU, he's between Torch River and Key Wayden on the east side of Elk Lake, west side of Torch Lake. Yeah, I'd like to go over a little bit of some issues that happened during the little outbreak we had here.
Yeah, we can go over that. Hang on one second. Let me see if we got any other stations wishing to check in, and then I'll go back to you there, Toby. Any other stations? Caught somebody trying to get in. Go ahead, try one more time. All right, station trying to check in there. You just were not making it. Give you one more chance here, and then I'll ask again for any other stations. It sounds like there's a KC8 or a KE8 station. Go ahead, try one more time.
Kilo Echo 8 here, Bravo Zulu.
Oh, Tony, got you in there. What do you have for a location?
Okay, Canada patch over here on Rennie Lake at home CTH. Trying a couple of HTs. My regular 2 meter is down right now, so these radios aren't working too good. Sorry, I was having trouble getting in there. But wanted to pick up the last guy one. Thanks for doing that all year.
Yeah, no problem. It's definitely nice to have a Skywarm program up here and one that's active. And it was nice on the last activation that we had someone able to link in the A2 from Gaylord, so that was nice too. But yeah, it sounds like you're somewhat solid in there off that last radio station there. But any other stations? All right, Toby, go ahead.
Okay, just kind of go over what we had here in Antrim. Before they even kicked it to a tornado warning, we had thunder and lightning, nothing really spectacular, and then all of a sudden the weather radio starts going off for a thunderstorm watch, and then all of a sudden we got the tornado watch. I mean, it kind of came real quick, so you had to really pay attention. And then at the same time, I had fire pager going off, but by the time we even got any of that, the storm had already passed. Now, I heard that the weather radio was down, or was I mistaken? Do you know, Mike?
As far as I knew, 162.400 was active. I don't even believe they kicked a watch off. It was straight to a tornado warning. It produced so quick that they didn't even have time to put a watch or anything out. So it was straight to a tornado warning, and then it lifted, went towards Bel Air, dropped another tornado, lifted, went towards Otsego County. So, I mean, it was quick. I don't even know if they were truly expecting it, but... Yeah, they didn't even do a watch. It went right to a warning.
Okay, yeah. Because it was so quick here, I didn't even know what was going on. And by the time we even got the alert out, it was already across the lake. That's how fast it was moving. And by the time they kicked our fire pagers off for standby, it was already sunny. I was out on one road. I was almost Camp Maplehurst there, conservancy area, where they did have a funnel come up over a lake, and then it went over to Torch. So, okay, thanks, Mike. KC, VSU, back to Nap.
Okay, yeah, no problem. And, yeah, it was, like I said, it was just quick. I don't know that they were really expecting it, but definitely seeing the hook on the bottom of that that cell that came across, that gave me all the indication what I needed to know. So, plus it dropping the tornadic water spout and then it going right towards Bel Air. I kind of figured there was something on the ground in Bel Air, but just nobody did. To confirm it at that point until the next day when they went out with the survey team, so it didn't pass too far from where the governmental was, I don't think, so and they got lucky, otherwise it would have took the dispatch right out. Alright, any other stations wishing to check in, and then we'll go on to tonight's topic. Alright, tonight's topic is going to be pretty straightforward. Being prepared for winter weather and what we are going to do when there is a blizzard warning or if we get any sort of activation. We'll start off with what we are going to activate for and what we don't. Anything that appears to have any sort of a life-threatening situation like a total blizzard, ice storm like we had in March, or anything of that nature, we will activate for, try to get the links up. And passing information is just the biggest thing. During the ice storm,
not everybody could move. We were, I believe, and it was probably for 4 or 5 days, maybe 4 days, we were passing information to the My Michigan hospital in Alpena. They had no way to get reports of road conditions, so we were doing that for them, and it helped them out just tremendously. There was an amateur radio station in Alpena that still had a, must have had internet, they had backup power, and they were broadcasting their weather station's data. I was able to just grab it off of that, rebroadcast it to them, and they were happy. So we have things like that in place for the next big storm that rolls through. But I'll break for one here. And we just don't activate for every little storm that comes through. We kind of pick and choose. If it looks like it's going to be severe, I'd like to get everybody warned ahead of time, get a game plan in place, get a net going. The other thing you can do is be prepared yourself. Have any sort of survival supplies you might need, water, blankets, food. If you can leave, you have to. What are you going to take with you? If you're going to stay, what are you going to have at the house to keep you warm? And then what we're going to do during the nets. So what I like to do before any severe weather hits, if I know ahead of time that we're expecting a blizzard or expecting a ton of snowfall, is wherever I have my snow gauge, I'm going to clear that area off, make sure it stays that way until the storm starts, and then at pre-designated intervals, check it for snowfall. And that is what we're looking for, is snowfall totals, any damage, impassable roads, power outages, if there's any life-threatening situations, we can pass that along. We have the capability through the state 800 system to pass along any dispatch center that we have connections with, any life safety issues, so we can do that, and we can pass along reports to the National Weather Service. KDRH for ID. Adam, if you got anything, if you want to chime in here, I'll let you take your turn, and then if not, I can proceed on.
Hey, APX. Thanks, Mike. Not really a whole lot more to add to that. That's pretty straightforward. Just reiterating that the National Weather Service in the winter months, they treat our snowfall reports, our wind reports, our ice reports, things like that. You know, they take them just as seriously as they do our summertime severe weather reports. They're usually very thankful for the reports that we make, so it's not a it's a worthwhile task. You know, it might seem monotonous when we're getting a really bad blizzard to go outside and check the snow depth every 3 hours, but it really helps them paint a picture, especially when we do our spreadsheets and everything that we do. So it's a worthwhile endeavor, and I'll leave it at that. Back to you, Mike, NADPX.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, too, is if we can get photos, if you can send those to us. We do have a document that is up, I believe, 24/7 over at Gaylord. They can log into it, and we can just constantly upload with reports. That way we don't have to call them on the phone. We can upload our reports every, you know, hour, every 2 hours, whatever we're doing. If there's photos, we can throw the photos in there, and then that also gives them a visual representation of what's going on outside. They can see what happens out at their office, but, you know, 100 miles away, they don't know what it's doing. So if they have any sort of visual marker, that's really the best thing that they can see, too, is what's actually going on. Yeah, I think we pretty much covered that. If you can't pick up a really nice or any decent snowfall gauge, that way you have something you can look at. You're not just going outside with a tape measure and just kind of guessing. Set it up ahead of time, preferably out of the wind. I know it's going to be hard for some people that are out in the middle of nowhere and they have a big open field, but try to find a spot where it's not shaded by trees, out of the wind, and then you can clear it off ahead of time and just, you know, go out, check it once in a while, come back, record it, and you can see exactly how much the storm has dropped.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add on that a little bit. Something I did, get a yardstick or a couple, just chuck it in the snow. About 8 inches is pretty usually good enough. And if you make sure it's not in the way, it won't fall over. Subtract however many inches you stuck it into the ground. That is by far probably the best way I've been able to do it. Tape measure, you can use a tape measure, but if you leave the yardstick in there, and you can actually replace it every time, every once in a while, so you can get better readings of, like say you placed it an hour ago. You can say, we got this much snow over the hour. That is a pretty good way of taking care of that. Back to you, Mike. And thank you, Mitch.
Yeah, another thing I've seen people do is they will they'll take a not a stick, but they'll take a I'm trying to think, they're like a fence post, and they'll attach a yardstick or anything like that with inch measurements on it. That'll work too. Anything that's in a predetermined location that's sturdy enough, that's going to withstand a little bit of wind and snow, and you can get a decent measurement off it. So having something like that, and obviously emergency supplies, making sure the batteries are charged on your radios, you know, anything like that, just make sure you're prepared ahead of time. And as I always say during that, if you have to leave, if it's life safety, just say, hey, I'm checking out, you know, or my smoke detectors are going off or whatever. That way we know you're leaving the net, and if we have to check in on you and you're not there, then we know something already happened to you. We're not having to worry about what's going on. All right. Adam or Drake, do you guys have anything else?
NAPX. The only other thing I would add, generators. After the ice storm, a lot of us that didn't have generators went out and bought one, and those that already did realized that they needed oil changes and couldn't run for as long as, you know, we'd like them to without issues. So just remember to do some maintenance on them. Oil changes, stock up on oil, filters, things like that. I don't have any confirmed reports, but I'm hearing rumors through the grapevine that that might not be our last ice storm for a while. Apparently things are shifting northwards as far as that ice band, and we may see ourselves getting, you know, a few rounds of these ice storms. So just some preparedness. If you got a generator, batteries, things like that, just go through them before, you know, it's not in your front of your mind right now because it's still 70, 80 degrees in October, which is crazy, but it's coming. It's coming soon. So check generators, check batteries, check fuel supplies, things like that.
And to add something to that, too, is make sure you have fuel and gas ahead of time. Or if you're running off propane or whatever fuel source it is, make sure you've got enough of it that's going to last. And once a week, just go out, start it up, make sure it works. Just the biggest thing, make sure once a week it starts. If it doesn't, try to get it fixed. I know a lot of people flood the small engine shops with snow blowers and things like that, and the lead times get backed up, but the sooner you catch it, the sooner you can get it taken care of, and then you're not scrambling when, you know, everything breaks loose. But there was not, I don't think there was one generator left in northern Michigan during that ice storm, I think, for about 4 months after that. So usually about the first storm that hits and everybody loses power, they all scramble to the store and they buy generators, so just make sure ahead of time that you've got everything you need. All right. With that, I'll stand by for any other stations wishing to check in, and I'll stand by for any questions or comments.
W8NWO, Nelson.
Nelson, I got you in there. Last station, go by one more time.
Alpha.
I caught Alpha. Just really scratchy. I'm not sure which repeater you're coming into there, but go ahead and try one more time. I caught a 3 and an Alpha Alpha.
Victor Alpha 3, Tango Alpha Alpha.
Yeah, Victor Alpha 3, Tango Papa Alpha, or Victor Papa Alpha, excuse me. Got you that time. You're still really scratchy. Looks like you're coming into the Sheboygan link. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let W8NWO check in, and then I'll have you go. Nelson, just I'll get your location, and then if you have any messages to pass.
Good evening, Mike and the group. Located in East Jordan, just north of town, just outside the city limits. And no messages. Just you guys are giving good advice tonight. So hope those out there that are listening will take heed and have a little better education about what we do. So very good tonight. W8NWO.
Yeah, thanks for checking in, Nelson. It's always good to hear you on. And the Victor Alpha 3 station, go ahead. Yeah, I caught maybe one or two words here or there. You're still really, really weak into the repeater. You could try the Mackinac City 1-1 repeater or the Petoskey 1-9. Those are both on the link. It might just be the location where you're at, too, there. But I caught maybe one or two words. Just really, really weak into the repeater. But got your call sign, and that was pretty much what I was able to copy there, but if you want to try one more time here at the end, I'll let you check back in, and if there's anything you want to add, feel free to at that time. I'll stand by if there's any other stations wishing to check in.
Any DMAs for the comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to add on, I know you probably mentioned this at the beginning of the skywarn season, but during the wintertime it also helps weather stations. You don't need to go get the fancy Davis ones. You can go get one of the little, the LaCrosse ones or something like that. The Iris 3-in-1 or the 5-in-1. That's not a bad bargain either. A weather station really can help with your reports and the accuracy and everything. Especially when there's a blizzard and there's a lot of wind, that also can help a lot too. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Back to you, Mike. NADMH.
Yep, having a decent weather station doesn't have to be $500 to $1,000. You can spend a couple $100 or as little as $100 and get a decent weather station. Mike's got something like Drake mentioned, wind speed, direction. A lot of them even have anemometers built into them, not anemometers, but rain gauges, so you can get rain gauge out of that, barometric pressure, anything like that's just, it's great to have. You can just look right at it, you don't have to go outside, you don't have to guess. That's the biggest thing, is having to guess, fast is the wind blowing, the trees are kind of moving around, but look out back, look, 22 mile an hour, perfect, that's all you need. Yeah, having a decent weather station is really nice to have in those situations. All right, I'll stand by one more time. Any other questions, comments, or late check-ins? Okay, nothing heard. I will give the VA3 station one more chance to check in, and then from there I think we'll probably call it a night. VA3, go ahead.
3 Tango Papa Alpha, I'll say 7-3. It's not going to happen.
Okay, yeah, it was good to hear you checking in there. And again, if there's any sort of Skywarn activation, all the links will be up through the Northern Michigan Link Repeater Network. and feel free to check in. We just encourage everyone to get the Skywarn training. It's not mandatory, but it is highly encouraged. So if you do have some downtime and you need to do that, feel free to look up a couple of the Skywarn modules online. There's even on YouTube, the National Weather Service Amarillo. They have a they have their own YouTube channel, and they have both of their Skywarn modules are on there if you want to watch those. Other than that, I'd like to thank everybody that checked in. And again, please feel free to check in anytime there is a Skywarn net. We look for everybody that can check in and give reports. So with that, I'm going to say 73 to everybody, and we'll conclude the net. And thank you again for everybody who checked in this year and participated. This is KDREH, Net Control for the Northern Michigan Skywarn Severe Weather Network.
KEAWW monitoring.